If you'd like to follow in your Bibles, we're going to be looking at John 5 this evening, which is on page 1073 in the church Bibles. We're not going to read it yet, so please just have it ready and pause. I wonder if you've noticed that there's not much in the world that everyone agrees on right now. But I think that we can all agree that healing is a good thing. Because as humans, we have feelings. We instinctively know that suffering, when things go wrong, it doesn't feel right to us. We all hope for a better world, without disease, without sickness, without famine. We know that healing is good because our whole lives we're going to hunger for a world that is better, that is restored and healed from all of these things. And it shouldn't be a surprise that these kind of basic feelings we see in the Bible, because it's a core part of the human experience, but also because healing and restoration and making things new is what God is all about. Our longings for healing ultimately will find their answer in the promises that God makes for the future. I'm going to read some familiar words from Revelation, the last book of the Bible. There we read that there will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain. For the old order of things will have passed away. Or in other words, the world will be healed. God will heal his world. He will restore his universe and fill it with life. Healing is a good thing. And with all of that in mind, I want to zoom in this evening and take you to an amazing pool of water in the holy city of Jerusalem. It is right next to the temple, and it's called Bethesda, which means House of Mercy. This pool of water can heal you from absolutely anything. If you can't see, if you can't walk, if you have COVID, or even if you just have a cold, anything that's wrong with you, this pool can heal you from. A pretty incredible place, and Jesus visited it one day. I wonder if any of you would like to go to a place like this to get healed from something. Anyone? Some nods? Or maybe there is somebody in your family or a friend or a colleague who you really long to see get better from something. Maybe you would take them to a place like this. Now I would like to introduce you to a man who, for the purposes of telling the story, I'm going to call Fritz. I quite like that name. At some point in Fritz's life, something happens to him. I'm not quite sure what, just that afterwards he could not walk anymore, which made life quite difficult in first century Jerusalem. So probably his family, his friends, or the guys at the local synagogue took him to Bethesda. A miraculous place where he dared to hope that one day he might be healed. And now I've told you that you can get better from anything, but I've not told you how it works. So let me explain. There is some special water there, some very special water. There are lots of blind people who can't see. They've come to be healed. And there are many others like Fritz who also can't walk. And they have come to be healed too. The water is normally totally still. It's hot in the sun. You can't sit next to the water. But there are some roof colonnades all around where you can sit in the shade. Sometimes the water starts to move. It's a bit mysterious. It just happens. And when that happens, the next person to jump into the water is healed from whatever is wrong with them. When people talk about this place on Instagram, when they read about it in the news, this place is the place to be for sick people. All of the hype says to go to this pool for healing. All of the hype says that this place is so, so good. We know that healing is good. But is anybody skeptical? Anyone? There's a hand at the back, too, maybe? It's easy to instinctively assume that a place that offers something good is a good place. I definitely did the first time I read about this place. But Jesus did not come to this place to check out the pool. I want to use our imaginations for a moment, because we know what people are like. We know what we are like, especially when we're desperate. Imagine what happens when the water starts to move. It seems to be whispering a promise of healing to everyone around, something that everyone is desperate for. Everybody wants this to be their lucky day. They all want to get better. They all want their lives back. But only one person can get healed today. Do you think it's going to work out fairly? The blind can't see what's going on, but maybe our friend Fritz does. He is laser focused on the pool day and night. He's always got his eye on the water. So he very quietly tries to get closer to the pool. He drags his body across the ground before anybody else notices. But the blind people hear, and they can move really fast. But in the hurry to get to the pool, they're quite likely to trip over something. And by that time that's happened, there's so much noise that everybody here knows what's going on, and it's a race. It's not just a handful of people. This is the center of Jerusalem. There was a multitude, hundreds of people wanting to be healed, desperate to be healed. It's going to be absolute chaos. And so maybe it's the person who's just got the cold who gets into the water first, as they step around all of the bruised bodies to get to the front of the queue. So now I want to think about our friend Fritz. He didn't make it the first time. He is slower than a blind person. It might take him a while to work out the system and the rules and get to the front of the queue. Maybe he'll wait here for a few weeks, a few months. He does really, really want to walk again, so it's worth the wait. Even if he ends up waiting here for a long time, I think it's still worth it, just in case. But I will tell you right now that Fritz waited beside this pool for far too long. His life got stuck. He was waiting here for more than 5 years, more than 10 years, more than 20 years, more than 30 years. In total, he spent 38 years of his life stuck here next to this pool. And I wonder if you can think with me now. If we wanted to help Fritz, suppose we could just put a good person into this story for him. What do you think a good person could do to help Fritz?
Carry him.
Carry him. Great answer. Anyone else?
Regulate the access.
I didn't think of that one. So you could regulate the access. You could bring him food, maybe, sit down and talk with him. Or as Amma said, you could wait with him, wait for the water to move, pick him up, carry him over, jump the queue and drop him in. That is what he really, really wants. Most people tend to agree that Jesus is a good person. And he's part of Fritz's story, but he didn't do any of that. And here is a free tip from me to you this evening for how to read the Bible. When Jesus doesn't do or say what we might expect, it's time to pay attention. He's always trying to show us what his kingdom is like. He's always trying to show us what God cares about in the way he speaks to people, by his actions, by his words, and in this case, by the way he treats a pool of water. I said at the start that Jesus has been to this place, but he doesn't seem to like this place. He certainly did not come to lead a paralytic into the pool. He didn't come to give his mark of approval. I asked you earlier if you were skeptical about this place, perhaps. I promise you that Jesus was more skeptical about this place than any of us. We're going to turn to our Bibles now and read from verses 1 to 9. I hope you recognize the things that I've been saying in the words that you read now. From chapter 5, verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has 5 roofed colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred, and while I am going, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So, after 38 years of waiting, Fritz does get his healing. But it doesn't come in the way he expected. Did you notice how laser-focused he is on that pool? Jesus asks him a simple, direct, yes-no question. And he doesn't answer that question. He just tells Jesus about all the obstacles between him and getting into the water first. He connects healing with winning a competition. He connects healing with the chaos that he's seen happen in front of the pool again and again and again. He knows how the system works. He's seen people get hurt. He understands that it's not the dreamy promise he saw on Instagram. And he chooses to participate. So when Jesus comes to him, he isn't there to take Fritz to the front of the queue and lure him into the water. As Fritz ignored Jesus' question, Jesus totally ignores everything Fritz says about the pool. All Jesus does is command him. And Fritz gets a healing unlike any healing he was expecting. There is no competition. There is no chaos. There is calm. He quietly gets up, takes his mat, and walks out of there, while Jesus disappears into the crowd. And it's a personal healing. It's from someone who cares about him. And Fritz's healing is totally complete. Jesus doesn't fix his paralysis. There was no physio rehab for him for the next 12 months. Jesus actually restores his muscles so he can immediately walk again. It turns out that Fritz did not need this special magical moving water that he'd been waiting beside for 38 years. He needed Jesus. The pool was not good for Fritz. Jesus was. So let's think a little bit about this place. The foundation of the pool, its magnetism, is the idea that it's the last hope for people most in need, that you can be healed and get your life back. But here are 3 characteristics I've noticed when I've been thinking about this. The first one is that this pool is unjust, because only one person gets healed at a time. It forces everyone into a competition to get in first. And so it doesn't care about those who are most in need. It's a system, it's a process. The pool cannot care about you. Maybe if we had someone regulating access to the pool, they would care, but the pool doesn't care. Just like an internet algorithm trying to advertise stuff to you, or a lottery machine selecting the numbers on your card. These things cannot care for us or what we need. Jesus cares. Jesus knows. He is very deliberate when he decides to heal Fritz, the man who had probably been waiting the longest out of everybody there. Jesus is just. This pool is not. Another thing I noticed is that it's chaotic. I've been deliberately using the word chaos to describe the effect of this place. And I'm going to go a bit cosmic now. Chaos and darkness, I don't know if you remember, appear together in the very first chapter of the Bible. The whole act, before God makes anything, that's what's there. And the act of creation is about making something new out of the chaos. God says, "Let there be light," and he sees that it is good. He fills the world with life overflowing. And John's Gospel, where we read this story, he begins with the same three words of Genesis, "In the beginning." And he declares that everything was made through Jesus, and that in him was life, and that life was the light of all humankind. Jesus is light and life, and those things represent an end of chaos. That does feel a bit cosmic, but those big ideas come into sharp focus beside this pool. If we see that something, anything, is causing chaos, it's like an undoing of God's creative work. No matter what other good stuff it promises in return, I think we can be sure it's not of the kingdom of God, or not leading in that direction. One last thing to notice about this pool is it's actually deadly. Life and death are being played out. I don't mean that the water is poisonous. It's not that obvious. But we know that Fritz was here for decades. Decades of waiting for something that might never happen. Decades of trying to win the competition. So many sleepless nights and forgotten dreams. Decades of anything will change you physically and spiritually. Sometimes I think that when I'm an old, wrinkly man, I want to be an old, wrinkly man whose wrinkles kind of wrinkle into a smile. But that doesn't happen in a moment. That's a lifetime of joy. This is Fritz's lifetime we're talking about. And I wonder how those decades would have shaped him as a person. It seems like his life has been taken away from him, or he's given up on his dreams. Jesus, the person who eventually heals Fritz, is different. He comes to give life. It's written all over John's Gospel, most famously in chapter 3, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." Nobody said anything like that about the pool. The deal with the pool is that you give something up. You lose some of your life to maybe, possibly, hopefully, probably not get something in return. I wonder what things or places in our lives might this pool remind you of this evening. It doesn't need to look anything like a pool. It doesn't need to be wet. It doesn't need to be a physical place. It might share some of the same characteristics, though. It might do the same kind of things to us. The truth is that anything that we hope for can be used to create a place like this. It could be money or power, health, popularity, escape, Snapchat fame. I don't know anything about Snapchat. Somewhere or something might promise a good thing, but look at it and maybe ask some of the questions that we've looked at tonight. Is it unjust? Or does it care for those most in need? Does it lead to chaos? Or does it lead to peace? Is it deadly? Does it steal life away? Or is it life-giving? Jesus' kingdom is not about chaos, injustice, or death. Jesus' kingdom is about peace and justice and life. Peace that can still storms, justice that cares for outcasts, light that chases away the darkness, life that overflows in our lives. And Jesus' kingdom is about a person. It's not a system you can use to get what you want. It's someone who is your king and your shepherd and your friend on the journey. Jesus doesn't want us to live in a place like the pool. Jesus doesn't want us to worship something else that steals our lives away. He offers life that springs up and overflows from inside us, life that becomes eternal life. He never puts a needy person at the back of the queue, hoping for something that will probably never come. So, Fritz has his legs back. He can walk around. But he still needs Jesus. And we're going to go back to the passage now, and I'm going to pick up where we left off. Now that day was the Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath, and it is not lawful for you to take up your bed." But he answered them, "The man who healed me, that man said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" They asked him, "Who is the man that said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk?'" Now the man had been healed, did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, as there was a crowd in the place. Afterwards, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him. And this was why the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, "My Father is working until now, and I am working." Fritz has changed. His whole identity is now tied up in what Jesus gave him. I gave this guy the name Fritz to help tell the story. In the passage, he is not named. He's just described. At the beginning, he's just an invalid. But here, he is twice called the man who was healed. The man who was healed. John can't underline or use italics, so he just repeats to make the point. He wants to highlight something that the Jewish leaders don't seem at all delighted by. Fritz was healed by Jesus. Now, there are lots of stories of Jesus healing people. Often they come to him and ask. He commends their faith and off they go. But this story is a bit different because Fritz has absolutely no idea who Jesus is. Not even afterwards. He didn't even stop and think to ask, "Who are you?" or "Thank you." The funny thing is, it seems like Fritz has just replaced the pool with Jesus. But that is not what Jesus wants our lives to look like. So he goes to find Fritz later on. And then he says something which, when I first read it, I thought was really cryptic and a little bit awkward. Look again at verse 14. Afterwards, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you." What do you make of that? What is Jesus saying here? It sounds like some kind of basic cause and effect thing. My head automatically thinks he was paralyzed because of some sin he did 38 years ago, and Jesus is now threatening him with something worse. Maybe if he sins again, he'll lose his arms as well as his legs. Does that sound right to you? Okay, we're agreed on that. It is true that one bad choice can change the path of our lives. But also, we can do something bad and not feel the consequences straight away. The disciples actually specifically ask Jesus this question later in John's Gospel about a blind man. They say to him, they ask him if it was him or his parents' sin that caused him to be blind. The disciples are thinking cause and effect, but Jesus says no, neither sinned. A blindness or a paralysis is not necessarily a sign of sin. So I wonder, what if the bad thing that happened to Fritz was not his paralysis? What if our ongoing struggles or the things we want healing from that consume our thoughts are not the worst things? What if the third worst choice Fritz ever made in his life was to go to that pool one day to give it a chance? What if the second worst choice he ever made was to stay there and to keep waiting? What if his worst choice was to not ask Jesus who he was? You see, Fritz wanted the pool. He was laser focused on the pool. He wanted to just get better and get on with his life. He didn't want Jesus. I think it's the same with the Jewish leaders in the story as well. They wanted people to follow rules. They wanted power and perfection. They weren't happy with what Jesus did. They wanted him dead. They didn't want Jesus. We started with a pool. I talked about healing. I talked about how it's something that we all long for, that is good. And I read you a bit of Revelation to show you that it's part of God's future plan. I'm going to read you a bit more from Revelation now. This is Revelation 21, verses 3 and 4 in full. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." God's promise for the future is not just a healed people, a place where nothing hurts anymore. Jesus is not a way to get the healing that you want and then move on. Jesus is someone to live with. God wants to be with his people. God wants to dwell with them, to be their God. He wants our worship. He doesn't want our worship to go to empty promises that steal our lives away and create chaos. There's not much in the world that most humans agree on right now. But whether you follow Jesus or not, I hope that from this story we can agree that what we put our hope in really, really matters. I hope we can agree that no system or rule following will ever really satisfy, because we need people who care for us. We all need Jesus, actually, all of us. Jesus made the world. He knows every one of us. All the life that we have, that we live, is a gift from him. And he invites us to be with him forever, healed and full of life. So when you find yourself beside something that might feel like this deadly pool, get up, pick up your mat, and put your trust in Jesus. I'm going to pray for us now, and then I'm going to hand over to Martin. Father, thank you for this story, but most of all, we thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you that even when we look at the story of a man stuck in his life next to this pool of water that gave him nothing, that Jesus walked in there and transformed his life. But Lord, we recognize that you offer us so much more than just physical healing, that you promise this whole creation will be healed when Jesus returns. Please, would you help us to see where we get stuck in our lives? Would you help us where our focus is laser, but it's on something that is not you, that is not good for us? Would you turn our hearts to you? Would you help us wonder at what Jesus has done for us? Would you give us a longing to be with him, to live with him, to worship him? In his name and for his glory. Amen.